Welcome to
Ray and Kay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Kay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA. MLB, college football, college basketball. Some tennis for y'all. A little bit of golf. Maybe some hockey. Don't you understand? We'll bring back rock.
Let's start the show.
Yes, sir.
Hello, and welcome to the show, and also welcome to our listeners listening from the UrbanDaily.com. We love it. Join us. Come along for the ride. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and it's time for the NFL Draft Preview. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. You want to call in, thoughts for the draft. It's going to be exciting, and this is what it's all about this time of year. You could also shoot us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, very interactive, a lot of polls, pictures. I mean, we've got mock drafts, all types of information at rayandtaytoday.com. You can also tweet at us at Ray and Tay Today. Visit and subscribe to our YouTube channel with some cool videos at Ray and Tay Today. And like us on Facebook. Ray, let them know how this football show is going down.
So we've got a lot to talk about. We're going to jump right in and talk NFL draft. It's coming up on Thursday. Ray and Tay are both going to give you our mocks. We're going to give you our mock draft. We may even mock each other, but we're going to give you our draft, give you our first round. So we're going to go 1 to 32, quick hitting. Then we're going to be joined by a friend of the show, Reister's Never Wrong, George Reister, former tight end from Oregon Ducks and the Jacksonville Jaguars in the NFL. He's going to be shedding some knowledge today and on our Friday show about the NFL draft, what it was like, what he thinks about some of the Pac-12 players, some of the Oregon players. So we've got a lot to talk about. And then at the end of the show, we haven't forgotten the NBA. So we've got the NBA playoff talk, five game sevens. Yeah, what a fantastic, maybe the best first round in history.
Definitely. And we got some, we have some callers call in, maybe some emails. So before we get on to this mock draft and sort of break some stuff down, do we have a caller already?
Yeah, we got a caller. Let's see what
let's see if they're ready.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, this is George Reister.
George, what's up?
George.
How you doing?
Doing all right. How you doing?
All right.
You ready
to talk some shop?
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, listen, let's get it going. We were going to, start to break down the mock. But, you know, George, there's so much talk going on. And for you as a former player and, you know, a tight end in the NFL, I wanted to find out from you because, you were a Jaguar. And, I don't know how your ties are still close to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know you're a big Oregon Duck alum. But at three, who should Gus Bradley and the Jacksonville Jaguars draft at number three in this draft Thursday night?
Well, I don't think that they should draft anybody at the three spot.
Trading?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's no question in my mind whether that they need a lot of parts. They need a running back. They need a quarterback. They need a lot of things on offense. They could possibly need a tight end. They need a lot of things. So just getting one player at the top of this draft is not going to solve it.
So you want to acquire more talent. You're not in, I mean, but I got to say, at three, Khalil Mack, George, you wouldn't want to jump on that edge pass rusher?
That is a thought, but when you think about it, Jacksonville's defense was actually pretty solid last year. It was their offense. They lost a lot of games, especially in the beginning of the season, but it wasn't because their defense was playing really bad. Their offense was was throwing picks. They were fumbling. They were giving the defense really, really bad spots. And when you do that, you're not going to win. So the defense is not the issue. With Jacksonville, it is 100% the offense.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I want to sort of get your expertise and be real, you know, don't be polite, you know, break it down like you always do. Rank the top five quarterbacks in this draft and then tell us how many are going to finally wind up being in this first round Thursday night.
Okay, see, this is a tough question because it's saying how many people should be there and how many people quarterbacks are going to be there is a different story because, you know, once the draft starts, as soon as a couple quarterbacks get taken, people start getting nervous and then they're like, oh, my God, we have to draft a quarterback now. They're all going to be gone. Well, the reality is, guess what? Would you rather just draft any old quarterback or would you rather draft the right quarterback? I mean, that goes back to a prime example, Oakland Raiders, the Jamarcus Russell. They knew he wasn't the hardest worker that they ever seen. But then you get guys that they're saying, okay, well, we need a quarterback really, really bad, so we have to take the best available quarterback in this draft. No, that's not what that means. That means get a free agent. Yes, you may not, you know, win the Super Bowl this year or next year, but it's better to get a solid quarterback than a kid that you know is probably not going to pan out and giving them all that money. It's not smart.
No, you're definitely right. So, but just give me your top five. Who are the guys we should be looking for?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, how do you view these guys?
The guy that I think is going to be the best quarterback in this draft, probably when it all shakes out, is going to be Derek Carr.
Okay. So Carr would be one. All right, Carr's one. Who do you got 2 through 5?
And two, I'm going to have to go with Sweaty Bridgewater.
Even though everybody's killing him. Everybody's dropping him from the pro day. No glove,
listen,
wear the glove. Yeah, I like Teddy.
He's running around. He's just trying to do anything he can to help his draft stock. But in reality, the kid is good and the kid can play. And also, but then after that, the third best quarterback, I'm probably gonna have to go with Johnny Football.
Oh, yeah. So it's funny. You're in the middle. Most people are either saying he's a bust or he'll be a star.
No, what I'm saying is that the kid has the opportunity. Like his ceiling is really, really high, but then
right.
His floor. Oh my God, the floor is. Floor is ridiculous. The floor is ridiculously low. Oh, hold on. Time out. I made a mistake. I apologize. I did not mean to put Johnny Manziel at 3. I meant to put him at 4 because number 3 is Zach, who could actually be the best quarterback in this draft if it's not Derek Carr. But my money goes on Zach Mettenberger.
He's got the biggest arm.
Yeah, and when you saw him last year at LSU when he got with Cam Cameron, he made a lot of pro throws. And he was on target. A lot of people are ranking him low because of some people even have him ranked behind A.J. McCarron and Logan Thomas and Garoppolo. But the kid can play. I know he was hurt right now, but he's out there throwing and everything right now. He has the potential to be a star.
All right, and who do you have at 5?
At 5, I'm going to go with who everybody has as number 1 right now. Blake Bortles. I'm not really the biggest Blake Bortles fan in the whole world because he hasn't shown to be that accurate at Central Florida, and even though he was in more of a pro style offense, he just didn't play against didn't put up those type of dominance against a lot of stiff competition and tough defenses. He's just, you know, he's a guy who could turn out to be a good quarterback, but I'm not banking my franchise on him at number 1, I'll tell you that much.
Okay. Hey, George, let me ask you something. As somebody who's been through this and obviously an expert at both college and pro, that's why we'd love to have you on the show. As I look at this, and we've been doing this for many, many years as well, you know, following football, but the last college football game was played early January. The combine was mid-February or late February. Everybody's done their visits. How is it that all of these players a week before the draft, now some of it is strategy, but how is it that these players move so far? Teddy Bridgewater 2 months ago was the number one overall pick. Now he's not even projected to be a first rounder. How is it that the tape is all in, most of the analysis is in, and yet people keep moving so much in the last 2 weeks?
Listen, here's the reality is, guess what? Nobody really moved that much. They only moved that much on TV. They didn't move that much on the people's draft boards. I promise you that.
The media, George.
Yeah, I've seen the war room. I've seen it. I accidentally, in Jacksonville, before one of our drafts, I think I'm in my second year, I was looking for our GM. I had to go tell him something, and I walked into the war room, and I saw all the names on the wall and all that. I was like, oh, wow, I already know who we're going to draft, apparently. And that was like a month before the draft, and then I saw it after the draft, exactly the same pretty much. They already know where they're going to go. These guys have been scouting these kids all year. There's a whole scouting department for every team that's just for college guys. So they're running around while all the pro scouts are scouting the other teams and all that. These guys just go to college games every single week. They work for NFL teams, but they're going to college games every single week.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, and George, let me ask you about, now you're in proud, we talked about Jacksonville, but you're a proud Oregon Duck.
Oh, so yeah, absolutely.
Tell me, now we'll talk maybe more about this on Friday, but tell me a little bit about going into this, DeAnthony Thomas, Josh Huff, Terrence Mitchell. Tell me about your Oregon kids, where you think they're going to go, maybe what's the best fit for those guys.
Well, Terrence Mitchell, I was a little disappointed that he did come out in the draft. I wish he had stayed in school, but, you know, I was an early entry myself, and you have to make the best decision for yourself, so I wish him the best. I'm not sure exactly how well that, you know, favors to, you know, work out for him. But, you know, if he gets in camp and he comes in there and he plays hard, he should make an NFL roster and be able to come in and make plays. And then when you look at Josh Huff, the kid can flat-out play. Like, he has speed, he has breakaway speed, he's shown that he can make big-time plays in situations. He's a guy, I don't think he's quite as good as Marquise Lee, but he is a receiver. I think that you're going to see him more in terms of like a, more in terms of what you saw from Steve Smith with the Bills this year as a rookie. And then you go to DeAnthony Thomas. DeAnthony Thomas, I mean, the kid is electric. You look at
the kid.
Yeah,
we thought he'd be a first rounder coming into the season, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all preliminary talk. It means nothing. I mean, it literally means nothing in the preseason when they were like, I mean, it's just like all season they were like, Austin Stefarius Jenkins is the number one tight end. He's going in the first round. And then Eric Ebron comes out and Jacob Morrow, and you're like, Ferris Jenkins, who? You know,
yeah.
So it means nothing. And in reality is sometimes not getting drafted in the first round or where you want to go is sometimes the best thing for you. You look at a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew, and then when you compare his stats to Reggie Bush's in college, they're pretty similar. The only problem is that Maurice Jones-Drew, we like to call him little Scooter. You know, he looks like a little bowling ball, and
mm-hmm.
he's not the pretty picture that the flash that you like to see from Reggie. But in reality, who's been a better NFL running back? I mean, and he would have gone in the first round if he were taller. That's just a fact, just based off production. And the same thing with, I think one of the biggest things that is going to help DeAnthony Thomas is Austin from the Rams. You saw Austin from the Rams. He started out a little bit slow.
Great second half.
Yes, he had a great second half, made some huge plays. But then DeAnthony brings a little bit of a different element to it because while he can run the ball and, you know, people are going to draft him possibly as a running back, he's also a pretty doggone good receiver as well. And we know what he can bring in a return game.
And even though in the 40 at the combine, you know, he was in the 4.6s, with pads and everything, George, his speed is, you know, he's got the breakaway speed. So I'll be interested to see sort of, you know, if he's like a, you know, scat back, third down, you know, maybe a little Eric Metcalf type. We saw what happened last year with Denard Robinson. You know, he was the offensive weapon. The Jaguars didn't want to, you know, call him one position. So that should be kind of interesting. But I saw, you mentioned.
You can't compare. You can't compare Denard Robinson to DeAnthony Thomas, though.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, they're in two separate leagues. But when you speak about DeAnthony Thomas, I was really surprised that he ran a 4.6 at the combine. But it's one of those things that you look at the number, and then you look at the tape. Nobody ever catches him. Nobody. So, you know, so, and they're playing against some really, really fast guys in the Pac-12. So do you look at the time, or do you look at the tape?
No, you're right about that. So, George, let me ask you this. Give me a sleeper. Who's the guy that might be, you know, a second round grade, but on Thursday night, whether it's down in the bottom or in the middle, who's the one guy that most people, when they're doing their mock draft, are like not even talking about him, but he's going to be picked in the first round? Give me that one guy, any position that you think is a sleeper to wind up being a first round pick.
Sleeper. I'll give you the answer to that in a second. But I think the biggest sleeper in the whole entire draft, I mean, it has to be Zach Mettenberger.
Mm.
I mean, I think he could turn around and go in the first round because I really do believe that teams, that they do their due diligence and that they see that the kid can play and that he's good. And not only is he good, but he's productive. And, I mean, we could be looking at a Tom Brady, just to really be honest with you. The kid can play. And, like, he didn't have the greatest years before, but he's my sleeper of the entire draft.
Well, and also anybody that plays at Georgia and then transfers to LSU and has got that big arm, you know he's got a ton of potential. So if he gets that knee right, and maybe the best thing for him is not to start, you know, his first 8 games, or maybe even sit out his first year, get completely healthy, and then go on and do big things. So we'll see what Zach has. Hey, George, one last question. You're a tight end, played tight end in college, played tight end in the pros. Tell us about if you had to whisper in Eric Ebron's ear, who looks like he'll be the number one tight end drafted and probably go somewhere in that mid-first round. What advice would you give him, a young, up-and-coming, you know, first-round tight end entering the NFL?
Oh, work hard, and once you finish working hard, keep working. And watch a lot of film. Watch Tony Gonzalez. Watch early Tony Gonzalez. But actually, most for him, I would say, watch Antonio Gates. Watch Antonio Gates. Year 3 through 8.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
And that's a guy that I see that he could potentially be like, made a lot of plays, made a lot of big plays, you know. So I would definitely say that's the advice I would give him to him. Work, continue to work on your speed, work with your quarterbacks, and you'll be all right.
George, can he become a better blocker? People criticize him and say he's just, you know, more on the out in the open in space like Jimmy Graham, you know, working the middle of the field, the slot. Do you see him sort of putting his hand down the dirt and doing a little bit of blocking?
Let me really be honest with you. There are only two tight ends in the NFL who are top receivers and are good blockers. Only two.
Okay.
Those are Jason Witten and Gronkowski. and Gronkowski. That's it. Tony Gonzalez barely blocks. Antonio Gates doesn't block.
Hey, wait, you're forgetting about my guy in Pittsburgh. Heath Miller's a pretty decent blocker.
But he's not one of the top pass receiving tight ends. I mean, he can catch
ball,
but he's not a, you know, he's not a vertical threat in terms of, like, he's not a 70, 80 ball a guy a year and 12 touchdowns. I'm talking about those guys.
The elite
None of those guys
right,
are good
right.
blockers.
Hey, Steeler Nation might get you on Twitter, George. Don't be knocking Heath Miller, man.
I'm not saying that Heath Miller's not a good tight end. He is a good tight end. He blocks and he catches balls. But then when you even look at that even further and you look at Witten's not a big touchdown guy. I like Jason Witten. I've known him since we came out in the draft together. I love him. But when you look at the numbers, catches 100 balls, 2-3 touchdowns. And while he deserves to go to the Hall of Fame, and he should, but you know that's what I'm saying is that the top tight ends in the league, they're not good blockers. The Gronkowski is probably the only one who catches a lot of balls and actually blocks.
Right, he's truly the monster out there if he can stay healthy. So his issues are away from football.
And look at Jimmy Graham. They don't even ask him to block. He's trying to get franchised as a wide receiver.
Well, yeah. What did he take? 2/3 of the snaps. On the numbers, he was lined up as a wide receiver most of last season.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's very hard to. So go catch passes. Don't go catch balls. Be concerned with blocking. Like, don't get your quarterback hit. Don't get your running back hit, because that doesn't go over very well. But reality is, you're there to catch touchdowns, so go catch touchdowns, and then they won't even ask you to block that much.
Hey, George, real quick before we let you go, who do the Texans take number one?
I think it's a very obvious choice. I think they're going to take Clowney, but – if I was them, I wouldn't take Clowney. I would trade out of that pick, and because they need a little bit more, they need some help on defense. They need a quarterback. I think that financially, from a financial aspect, taking Johnny Football is the right move, because he's going to make them a lot of money. But in terms of, but I don't know if I'm willing to gamble my immediate football future for some extra revenue.
Definitely.
Which you can make up just by winning.
Definitely.
So, yeah, but I think that Clowney's probably the right move. But if Johnny Football pans out, then that would be the ultimate right move.
Okay. Well, listen, George, we'll talk to you on Friday, and we'll break down what happened in the first round, and then go ahead and preview the rest of the draft. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you Friday.
Yeah, we appreciate it, George.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks, George. Take care.
All right.
Great.
Well, we got George Reister. Reister's never wrong, so we'll see on Friday.
He knows something about the Jaguars.
No, I like what he's saying, especially about accumulating talent, because this is a deep draft, and if you can trade down, especially if you can trade down a handful of slots, still get the player you like, pick up some second or third round, or maybe even sneak in the late first round talent, and especially those teams like Jacksonville that need multiple players and multiple positions.
And even the Texans. And we spoke about this off air, and let the audience and the fans know, we both feel potentially this draft could be one of the best drafts in the last 20 years. And there's about 13 quarterbacks that might get drafted, maybe 15, but I think that there's 8 of them at least that could be starters, and you don't know how good they could potentially be. We talk about the ceiling of Manziel and stuff like that, but this is a draft where you could see, I would say, we're getting ready to do our mock, but I would say in the first round there could be 3 to 5 trades easily.
Right, and the funny thing is, most players, especially for fantasy – the casual fan like quarterbacks and offensive players, and there might be 7 or 8 wide receivers taken, you know, in this first round.
Oh, yeah.
And
no,
this
definitely.
Draft is so deep with offensive talent, a few impact defensive players as well. So it'd be real interesting to see what's, you know, what's on tap for this draft. Hold on. I think we got another caller real quick before we do our mock.
Yeah.
Caller, you're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Oh, it's Hank.
What's happening?
What's up, Hank?
What's up, buddy? The Dolphins are on the clock. What's going on?
Well, I mean, Dolphins are pretty boring. You know, they need, like, 5 offensive linemen. So, you know, it's just a question of who's going to be left when they draft and they're just going to lift one. It might even lift another one in the second round, which is kind of funny. But that honestly, the Dolphins are not too exciting this year. We know what they need. Before
right.
you guys mock draft, I want to ask a question. What do you guys think about – I mean, look, we all know that people want to draft quarterbacks in order to make money. I get that. But I think a lot of it is, in this draft, everybody agrees, since there's no lock guy who's like the man, there's no Andrew Luck in this draft, how comfortable do you think that these teams that are, let's say – drafting in the top 8, so I want to include the Raiders and I want to include the Vikings because they've kind of got
right.
new managers in place. How comfortable do you think that they can be in their jobs to take a guy and take a risk, right? Because this is different, right? Some years you have a guy who's like, well, like the Jets, right? The Jets could be like, oh, you know, their management's only got 1 year, 2 years left. Let's take a gamble, a guy, and fly with him. And if he works out, he works out. And if not, then we'll all try to, you know, justify our existence next year. But most of these guys are all new managements.
You're right.
No, you bring up a great point because, look, it's been unanimously, you know, it's kind of everybody agrees that this is a quarterback-driven league and you cannot win a Super Bowl or do well in the playoffs without a strong quarterback. Even a caretaker, you know, a game manager still has to be pretty good. So you look at the draft and you say 1, Houston, 3, Jacksonville, 4, Cleveland, 8,
Raiders.
The
but the Raiders are happy with Schaub. They think they got 3 to 4 more years with Schaub.
Okay. So
then
you
could throw
5.
In maybe the Vikings, maybe the Bucks. You know?
Right, and then you throw in maybe the Bucks. They don't know about Glennon. So you got maybe 5 teams in the top 8 that need a quarterback. So if you are sold on quarterbacks, the easiest thing to do for a GM is to take one of these quarterbacks. The problem is I don't think this draft doesn't have a Luck and an RG3, so you're in
yep.
that dilemma where if you take a quarterback, you got to give him 2 or 3 years to show if he's the man or not, and you may not have 2 or 3 years if you're the GM or the coach. So if you don't have that franchise quarterback, you can always say, hey, we never had a franchise quarterback. We're just building pieces and waiting till that franchise quarterback comes around because a lot of these teams that are in the top 8 are going to be in the top 8 next year too.
Exactly.
Well, you know, but I was going to say, Hank, honestly, I think the only team that will actually pull the trigger, and you hear on all these shows, whether it's NFL Network, ESPN, any of them, you know, oh, Manziel might go 2 to the Rams or the Browns and the Jaguars this. These guys are going to pick players that can really help their team. I think because of North Turner being there with the Vikings and them having a solid defense in place and having Adrian Peterson, I think Castle is sort of like that stopgap. And whatever rookie they would draft, I think you'll see the Vikings taking a Carr or a Bortles or a Bridgewater and being the only one potentially in the top 10 to take a quarterback. I really think the Vikings is where the draft begins with the QBs.
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with you, particularly since, you know, the Vikings have the advantage that they know, like let's just say North Turner-type thrower has always been
yep.
a big guy, you know, big arm. Like, they know that Blake Bortles is going to be there, right? There's nobody's going to jump, you know. I mean, I guess it's possible that maybe if Cleveland is in love with the guy, that they would take him, but besides Cleveland, no one's going to jump over Blake Bortles. So they've got the best position in the draft by far, where you know that at least they can take comfort at like, hey, you know, we can take this risk and not worry about, you know, being a laughingstock next year.
No,
so
I think you're
me,
right.
I think
that's what's going to happen.
I didn't like them picking Christian Ponder a few years ago. I said basically quarterbacks were cheap now to draft because before if you drafted a quarterback top 10, you had to pay him big money. And now with
right.
that rookie salary cap, it doesn't hurt you as bad. But I think by the same token,
less of a risk, yeah.
It's less of a risk. So we'll see. I mean, we're going to fire off some mock draft picks. I personally have the Browns taking a quarterback. So you got to listen to our mock.
You know what's so funny? I'll tell you, Hank, Ray's tripping because you know what the Browns need? They need a lot. And to me, I can't see how you don't – they've got five picks in the first 83 picks. And to me, with the Browns, I don't touch a quarterback until, like, pick whatever it is, 37, 38. You're going to hear the mocks, but that's just how I see it because, to me, the Browns, they have an opportunity to get another stud receiver, whether it's a Watkins or a Mike Evans or someone or Beckham, and then they also can get a nice, you know, maybe a nice lineman. So we'll see.
Yeah, I want to hear your mocks.
All right, stay tuned. We're coming with it.
All right. So.
All right, this is close.
All right, Hank, thanks for the call.
So,
all right, without further ado, let's fire it off.
Are you ready? We do have one more question, but let's start the mock. We do have a question, a caller called in, recorded a question, but let's go with the mock. Number one, the Texans. Ray, who are they taking?
Jadeveon Clowney. I think unless they trade out of this pick, talk about downside if you don't take him and he's the next Reggie White. So yeah, I think you got to take Jadeveon Clowney and figure out how to play him with Watt.
I got them with Clowney, too. Might not be shocked, sort of like the NBA draft this year. Might not be shocked if they can't trade down, just surprise everybody and say, you know what, we want Khalil Mack just because he might fit their system better. But you can't pass Clowney. I think it would be crazy. All right, number two, the St. Louis Rams on the clock. What are we going with?
They have to make a decision on whether their quarterback is there to stay. I think you got to give him an offensive lineman. They go with Greg Robinson, the big fella from Auburn. Great run blocker. Needs to work on his pass block.
He does, and I'm going to tell you the guy that's most pro-ready. And originally I had them maybe going with Sammy Watkins, but I think they go with family. And Fisher knows Matthews well, knows the Matthews family. And I think he can play left and right tackle. Proved that when he played with Jokel. The Rams take Jake Matthews. And he starts from day one. Number three on the clock. And in our mock, we're not doing any trades. So number three, the Jaguars select?
Khalil Mack. I think he's the best player on the board. He's an impact defensive player, maybe a starter for 10 years.
Yeah.
Fantastic prospect.
And I don't think they trade down. I think they take Mack too, and they get that pass rusher. Because even though George said that their defense was pretty good, they still didn't generate a lot of sacks, and so they need a pass rusher. Number four, the Cleveland Browns, Ray. Who are they taking?
They need – their defense is not bad. They need punch on offense. I think they need to get excitement back in Cleveland, and they take Johnny Manziezi. Johnny Manziel, put on your Browns helmet. Let's go.
You're going with Jonathan F. Football. Okay, I feel you. I'm telling you right now, they like Hoyer. They just signed Tyler Thigpen and Vince Young. They'll take the quarterback in the second round, and they go to pair up with Josh Gordon. The Browns select Sammy Watkins. Woo! Now that's excitement. Number five, the Oakland Raiders.
If he falls to their lap, they will be so happy to get Sammy Watkins. The other guy, if he falls to them, Khalil Mack, I don't see it happening, but if he would fall to them, that would be great as well. But I got in my mock, Raiders take their franchise wide receiver, Sammy Watkins.
Can't be mad at that. For me, I say, you know, they help out their center, Alex Mack, and Joe Thomas, and they go and get Greg Robinson, the next best lineman on the board. At number six, who the Falcons taking?
I think they take an offensive tackle. I think they need one pretty badly. If they can trade up and get Clowney, they would. It would cost them too much, so I think they take Jake Matthews here.
Woo! Well, I got them going with the big guy from Michigan. Go Blue, Taylor Lewan. The Falcons need to protect Matt Ryan. He cannot throw down the field on his back on the ground. So they got Lewan, the offensive tackle. At number seven, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who got a whole bunch of free agents, a new quarterback, and a new coach. Lovey, who they drafting?
believe it or not, if Johnny Manziel is here, they'd take him. I think they'd go out of their comfort zone and take him. But since he won't be there, the blessing in disguise is they'll get themselves another big receiver in Mike Evans.
I agree that they'll take Mike Evans. I think they would pass Manziel. I think also the only other and remember, McCown just had a great season throwing to two players who were similar, like Vincent Jackson and Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. So Mike Evans, another big receiver who was Johnny's target at Texas A&M, you pair him up with Vincent Jackson, and I think that's nice. But don't sleep on maybe them taking Aaron Donald there. Number eight.
The Vikings select
the Vikings.
Blake Bortles. I think they haven't had a real legit quarterback since Dante Culpepper. And by the way, Randall Cunningham will be on our show in 1 week's time. So all you listeners out there, tune in next Monday. Randall Cunningham, a former Minnesota Viking and Philadelphia Eagle quarterback, will be on our show.
And a hero to most.
But I
got to agree with you, Ray.
Bortles.
This is where I go my first quarterback, and it's quite simple. North Turner is the guru. He's got AP. He's got Kyle Rudolph. He's got Cordarrelle Patterson and Greg Jennings and some receivers. This is a perfect place. By week eight, Castle's on the bench, and Blake Bortles will be starting for the Vikings. At number nine, who are the Bills taking?
The Buffalo Bills take Taylor Lewan. They have E.J. Manuel. He's their quarterback. They need to give him some offensive line support. So I thank the big fella from Michigan.
And I agree that they need some help for E.J. Manuel. And I think they like Scott Chandler, but I think they need somebody a little bit more explosive. They have Stevie Johnson and Robert Woods. They got both running backs who are coming up with free agent contracts. So maybe they'll draft a running back in the third round. But they take Eric Ebron, the tight end for North Carolina, who will really help Manuel. Number 11, number 10, the Detroit Lions.
Ha!
Who are they taking?
Ha! A.K.A. ha-ha, Clinton Dix. So I think that their whole secondary is way below average. Their front seven is fantastic. Their offense has got a lot of superstar power.
And they just lost Jarius Byrd to the Saints.
Yeah, they need secondary help pretty badly.
Great
so.
Pick.
The ha-ha Clinton Dix, that's their guy, and I think they go somewhere in the secondary, either cornerback or safety.
Okay, well, I agree with you in that sense, and I think they need help, but I think they're going to go with the corner. I like Justin Gilbert from Oklahoma State at cornerback. So number 11, the Tennessee Titans.
So this guy is moving up and down boards, or maybe as George says, in the media, moving up and down boards. I think you're drafting here on potential because he's only a freshman, but or really, you know, learning his position, I should say. So the Titans take Anthony Barr. I think he's just such a he projects to be a
talent,
really versatile linebacker talent that I think that the Titans take
a lot
Barr.
Of upside. He could have the best upside in the draft because he's just learning. And, you know, he was a running back, now he's outside linebacker. Great pick. Well, you know what? I'm going to catch up to you, and I'm going to go with my second quarterback coming off. I think the Titans really know that Jake Locker is injury-prone and not the man, and I think they're getting ready for that transition. And Ken Whisenhunt is like, you know what? I've got to do it. I'm taking Johnny Manziel, going to the Tennessee Titans at number 11. Number 12, New York Football
Giants. The Giants have a quarterback that threw 27 interceptions and led the league in interceptions several times. Part of it is because he's getting too much pressure. Part of it because they don't have a sustainable running game. So I think they address that, and they take Zach Martin, offensive tackle.
We agree. I think this is like the third time we agree. I say from Notre Dame, they take Zach Martin. I like him because he can play tackle and could be a Pro Bowler at guard. So he's got that versatility, which the Giants need. For their second pick at number 13, the Rams and Jeff Fisher select
Justin Gilbert. You had him going a few spots earlier to the Lions, but I think the Rams go get themselves Justin Gilbert. They get an offensive tackle, and then they go on the defensive side with a corner.
I'm not mad at you. I think they need some secondary, and I think what they do is go with ha-ha Clinton Dix. They already have the corners and Jenkins and Tremaine Johnson, and to me, getting Ha-Ha from Alabama. He'll help be the general out there at safety for the Rams at number 13.
Okay. So next, let's keep it moving. Number 14, the Bears. I say they select an up-and-comer from Pitt, moving up draft boards, Aaron Donald, the tackle from Pitt. Big pass rush.
That's...
I think that they can really sort of set that outside rush for 5 years, with 5 to 10 years with Aaron Donald.
Right, and they got some guys in free agency, and they're making a big change. I actually have the same pick, and I think the three technique, Aaron Donald will get in there between the guard and the center and give you that middle pressure, and he's going to be a stud. He could go, he's perfect for the Tampa too, so he could go to the Bucks. But yes, I have him here too. Aaron Donald going to the Bears at number 15, baby. Steelers Nation, stand up. Here we go, Pittsburgh, here we go. Who am I feeling taken?
Darqueze Dennard, the kid from Michigan State. He's tough. He tackles, which today's corners don't tackle. So he's tough.
Yeah, he's
a
Steeler.
He can play the run. He tackles. My only fear for the Steelers is that he gets taken earlier. He might get taken by the Lions. He might get taken by the Rams. But I like this kid. He's the perfect, if you were to do like a matching system, he's the perfect match for the Steelers mentality.
Well, you know what? We agree again, and Ike Taylor is, what, 33, 34? Today is actually his birthday. So I got to take Darqueze Dennard from Michigan State, who had one of the best defenses. Next up at number 15.
My Cowboys!
How about them Cowboys? Who are you Cowboys taking, man?
Oh, goodness. If Johnny Manziel is here...
Yep.
Jerry Jones is crazy enough to take him. But
I think he takes him if he's there, but I don't think he's going to
be. Oh, goodness, I don't think he'll be there. But if he's there, he might. I think the Cowboys are so desperate to get talent on defense. They may trade down and just try and accumulate picks, but if they had to pick one player, I could see them taking Calvin Pryor at safety. They really need secondary help. They need help everywhere.
They need a lot.
The worst
and he would start right away, so they really need help. And they need Claiborne to start playing at the corner. They need him to step up. I agree. I think they got to go defense. And I think since they lost DeMarcus Ware now with the Broncos, I think he'll be there. I think they're going to go with Anthony Barr. I think he'll play perfectly in their system and be able to rush the quarterback. So, number 16, the former, not the champs, but the former champs, one year removed, the Baltimore Ravens select?
17, yeah. They take. I see them taking C.J. Mosley. Alabama, inside linebacker. They need help in a couple of places. They never really recovered from that Super Bowl, defection. They put together a decent year. Maybe, a call here or there could have made the playoffs. They control their own destiny. But I still like them taking Mosley from Alabama right here.
Okay, and I think they've never replaced Ed Reed in that secondary. And I think Calvin Pryor is perfect for the Baltimore Ravens, that pick.
How about
now,
our
the Jets?
J-E-T-S,
Jets.
So all you New York fans, listen up. This was a pick that they were projecting months ago. I've come back to it. The Jets need firepower on offense. Chris Johnson helps, but they still need some more offensive firepower, and I think they get it in the form of Eric Ebron, the tight end. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if they took a wide receiver, but I just like this kid. He stands out above everybody else at his position, so I could definitely see the Jets taking him if he's there. The tight end from North Carolina, Eric Ebron.
Ooh, okay. I'm not mad at that pick. Well, for me, I think the Jets, they need more weapons. And Eric Decker was a good pickup, Chris Johnson, but Stephen Hill and Curley are threes and fours. So they draft Odell Beckham, the wide receiver
Junior.
From LSU. That's Beckham Jr., my fault. And
your
you know what?
Dad
he,
now.
Yeah, now nah, Odell Beckham is going to light it up for the New York Jets and be a star in New York. Number 18, Hank's Dolphins. Number 19, Hank's Dolphins. Who are they
like
taking?
Like you said, they need five offensive linemen, so I'll take one for them, Morgan Moses.
Well, give them credit, though. They did do in the offseason, they did get some line. They got Albert. They got Albert from Brandon Albert from the Chiefs. So.
Yeah, they were flirting
Moses.
With him for the last 2 years, but I think
exactly.
They take the kid from Virginia, Morgan Moses.
That would be a
they
good addition.
Tackle.
I think Yeah. I didn't have him in the first round, but I think he's – look, the tackles have to – you just got to take them. I think they need to go secondary. I think the Dolphins, you know, they lost – I think Grimes went back to the Falcons. I think dealing with these different offenses, they need to really take care of their backfield. They go with Kyle Fuller, who's a stud from Virginia Tech. I like Kyle Fuller there.
Okay.
Number 20.
Your Cardinals, all those Arizona fans of Ray and
Tank. Arizona, stand up.
Oh, Lord, I think this is the perfect scenario. They take Derek Carr. He might project to be the best quarterback. He certainly sits a year or so at least behind the current quarterback. So they've got a year basically to find out in practice if he's ready, and then he takes over next year.
Take over for Carson.
Takes over for Carson Palmer. I think that's it. That's the pick. It's a beautiful fit. 20, they pick.
Good marriage.
Derek Carr.
I could see them going defensive line or tackle here because some of their guys are getting a little bit older and they love their defense, but I agree. Carson might only have a year or two left, and Bruce Arians is a quarterback guru with Big Ben and Andrew Luck. I got Derek Carr going here too. 21. The Green Bay Packers from Lambeau Field.
I think they need playmakers on defense, and I think they take the kid from Ohio State, Ryan Shazier. He's a linebacker. He's got a nose for the ball. He makes things happen. I think that's exactly what they need. That defense was great 2-3 years ago, and now they got old and they got mediocre real fast.
You know, I agree. I think they get someone in the same position, but sort of right in the middle. I think, you know, he drops a little. The talent's great. Championship blood. C.J. Mosley from Bama goes to the Packers. 22, interesting pick. The Philadelphia Eagles. How about them Eagles?
So here's the thing. I think you think the same, but 22 and 23, both of these teams, the Eagles and the Chiefs, take wide receivers. I just think they basically look at their board and see who's the best. Now, the Eagles have a very interesting system, but I think they just take the best wide receiver on the board. So I like the Eagles taking Odell Beckham, your boy, right here at, I think he falls to them at 22.
Well, and I got them taking the kid from Oregon State. He's electric with speed, killed the combine. Brandon Cooks replaces DeSean Jackson. Chiefs, 23, who are they taking?
Marquise Lee, a kid that I thought could win the Heisman Trophy going into this year from USC, still has great
who
talent.
Who knew all that stuff would happen with Kippen and the quarterbacks, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, but I like him here. Nice fit for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I have Lee, too. I tell anybody, go to the tape. You know, what he did, not this season, the season before, he was electric. So it's time for the Bengals, Ray's new quiet favorite team in the AFC.
Yeah, I love
at 24.
The Bengals.
Who the Bengals taking, man?
I think they have enough on offense. They have to decide if their quarterback, Andy Dalton's the real deal. So I think they focus on defense. Even though this guy's got into some off-the-field trouble, Bradley Roby, I think they take the cornerback here, and they just solidify that fantastic defense, make them even better.
Yeah, I have to agree. Remember, Adam Jones and their other corners are getting long in the tooth. Who's the former Cowboy corner they have over there? Newman. They're getting old. So I actually have Bradley Roby here, too. We agree again. We got about six or seven we agree on. But Roby
stop
here, definitely.
With me.
Yeah, man, listen. How about them what about Superchargers? Ray's third favorite team. Who the Chargers taking, man?
I think the Chargers have to take a defensive lineman, whether it's inside or outside. But I like them taking Coney Early, the kid from Missouri, the other guy from Missouri. Everybody's talking about Michael Sam, who might be a fifth-rounder, sixth-rounder. But I like this kid Early from Missouri, and I think it's a great fit with the Chargers. They need defensive line help.
Definitely. I think Coney Early, whatever, I think he's dropping a little bit, you know, people are saying. I think they go with Notre Dame. I think they go with the big guy, Lewis Nix III. I think he
big
will
fella. Okay.
He'll be up there and be able to, you know, generate some pass rush up the middle. So the Browns at 26 with their second pick, what are they doing?
It's funny because I have the Browns taking Johnny Manziel, and if they do, they might turn around and take a wide receiver here. But I still think they're going to solidify that defense. Maybe they'll take Kyle Fuller, the cornerback, and just have the best defense in the AFC North.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that here. Well, for me, you know, I think the Browns, they probably are going to go receiver here. And I see them probably taking, maybe they go with a big guy, a big receiver, and Calvin Benjamin.
Oh, from Florida State. Okay.
Yeah. I think I was thinking about Lee, but he'll be gone already. I have him going earlier. So I think it's either Calvin Benjamin or Davante Adams crawls into the first round. But I'll go Benjamin from Florida State.
Okay. All right. So now we come up to the Saints. Now, the Saints have some needs, but they also have a quarterback who's at the prime of his career. So you need – or maybe on the downside, Drew Brees. So I think the Saints get him a wide receiver. I like Cody Latimer, and I think that they can get him Latimer or maybe
Indiana.
Yeah, or they get him Brandon Cooks from, like you said, from Oregon State. But I think they give him another weapon because it's a shame to waste, you know, a quarterback talent like Drew Brees. You better give him some tools
to
play with.
And they lost Lance Moore. They do like Nick Toon and Kenny Stills, though. So, you know, I think they got to keep Drew Brees up, and I think they want to really get Pierre Thomas. Ingram didn't get the fifth-year extension, and they got the, you know, Kyrie Robinson, the running back. I think it's Cyrus Condrill. I think from Alabama, they go
tackle,
with the tackle.
Okay.
People, yeah, I think he's just too talented. He's had some different issues, but he's healthy now, and I think they got to go with him there. The
All
Panthers
right.
at 28.
The Panthers need everything on offense. They had Jordan Gross retired. They lost all of their receivers. Their running backs aren't very effective, even though you would think each of them could potentially run for 1,000 yards. So I like them taking your guy from Florida State, Kelvin Benjamin, here. They have to come out of here with an offensive playmaker.
They do. They do, and they need speed. They might draft two or three receivers. I think the second round they'll go get a lineman and hope that he can help. I'm going to go to receiver here, too. I'm going with the kid from Indiana, Cody Latimer. I think did great in the combine, the speed. People are impressed with him. He's making a run and another receiver in the first round. All right, how about the Patriots? This is a big draft at 29. Are they going to get Brady some help? What are they doing?
Well, I think they get him – the big fella. I think later on in the draft, first they might trade out of this spot, but I think they need a defensive tackle. I think that they need Wolfork. They don't know how good he'll be.
Belichick
so
trading?
Need,
he never trades. This guy's a trade machine, right?
I think they go get Rashid Hageman from the defensive tackle from Minnesota.
He's a big boy,
a space eater, but he also has some explosiveness upfield, and I think he could help that Patriots defense, which has been a little shaky at times.
Well, I agree they go get a big guy, but I think they go get someone more on the outside. I like defensive end D. Ford from Auburn. I think his motor, his attitude, his pedigree, I think he'll be good and would play well with Belichick. I like D. Ford there.
Okay.
Now the Niners at 30.
Here we go. We're starting to get to the teams that are really good.
Yeah.
So we got the Niners at 30. The Niners can go a lot of ways here. It's really fine-tuning because I think they have the best roster in football, and I think for the past 3 years they've been the best team in football. So at this point it's really just, you know, who gets you over the edge. I like them getting a wide receiver here. I think that they are getting old, long in the tooth with Anquan Boldin, and they need to replace somebody on that side of the ball and get some explosiveness. So I think they come up with a wide receiver. I think that he falls to them, which would be great because they obviously probably do a lot of scouting in the Pac-12. So Brandon Cooks from Oregon State is their guy.
Okay, Brandon Cooks. You know what? One thing that I realized, so that Browns pick, that's who I had, you know, going to the Browns. I don't think it's going to be Marquise Lee. I actually think, because I got them going with Sammy Watkins, I think it's going to be Morgan Moses there. So I just wanted to fix, you know, correct that. I think because I had Lee going earlier, so it's not going to be Davante Adams because I have Lee, you know, going up there with the Chiefs. The Browns will take a lineman there, and it's going to be Morgan Moses. So that's who I had there. So I agree with you with the Niners, and I think Bringing in Brandon Lloyd, I think they're good now at receiver. And so they got three receivers. So I think that's actually going to be huge. Last year he was making movies. But he's back playing football, and I think he's still very talented to be with the other two receivers. That'll be really nice. Anquan Boldin and Crabtree and Lloyd. That's ridiculous. I think they take Lion Shade here.
Though. Lloyd hasn't really produced in the last three years, you know, ever since he left the Patriots.
Yeah, no, Rams in New England, a couple different issues. He wasn't that bad with the Rams, but Bradford was, in and out of the lineup, whatever. But I like them going with Ryan Shazier here. I think there's concerns about, their linebackers. Obviously, Alden Smith, and then you got Bowman with injuries. Patrick Willis is going to start to get on the older side. So I like Ryan Shazier here, who will be great for the Niners, and he'll learn from that linebacker room. Woof. Broncos, 31.
All right. Broncos, I think they take an offensive lineman just to protect Peyton in case of injury. They got a little bit roughed up in the Super Bowl. I think they go get themselves Cyrus Quanjo from Alabama, and he protects Manning for the next couple
Can't
of
years. Can't be mad at that. I got them going, with some beef up front. I think they need to continue to put some pressure on teams, and I think they go with Coney Ealy here. I think that defensive tackle, I think he's going to be pretty good from Missouri. A little stiff, but I think he'll be all right and he'll get selected. Now the Seahawks at 32, last pick of the first round.
Okay, now you're going to make me say his name because
he's
the man, Xavier Suafilo, the guard from UCLA. I think he is exactly what the Seahawks need, a big, explosive offensive lineman to keep Russell Wilson and that offense up and running. Seahawks have every reason to think that they should be, defending Super Bowl champs. So, again, this is like the Niners pick, just fine-tuning.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I have Xavier Suafilo going there, too. He's going to be a stud. Just want to throw this out there, man. I think the Texans are going to wind up taking Mettenberger in the second round early, and I think this is where the quarterbacks will go, and Jaguars will get you Bridgewater, and then Cleveland will go ahead and get you Aaron Murray. So I'll be interested to see that top half of the second round, what happens with these quarterbacks, and maybe even the Seahawks trade out. 32 and get, some more talent. Maybe the Browns or Jaguars move back in. That's where it's going to be interesting. Those last teams, Broncos, Niners, Seahawks, maybe somebody comes back in and,
there might be a run on quarterback. So all those people hoping to get a quarterback early second round, they might shoot back into the late first round. No, absolutely.
Definitely.
So, look, we've got a lot to talk about again on Friday.
So let's
this
take
draft,
this question. Let's take this question real quick because we got a question from a caller. Let's just see what that
is. Hey, guys, do you think that Johnny Football is the best quarterback coming out of the draft? And if so, do you think Houston's going to take him at number one?
Okay.
Well, that's a
good
great question.
From Elton. I don't know if he's the best, but I don't think he's going to go number one. We just did our mock on where we think that he's going to go. 11 for me to the Titans and 4 for you to the Browns. So that's how we think of Johnny Manziel.
Yeah,
and
we got a caller
top 3.
Real quick. Hold on.
Yeah,
we got a caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Ray and Tay? Hello, caller, you're on the air? Oh, we dropped the caller. All right. No worries. So I think Manziel is – maybe has the highest upside, he and Mettenberger. Mettenberger because of his arm and Manziel because of his playmaking ability. So those two I'm going to keep my eye on for the next 2-3 years.
No, definitely. I like those guys. And I think Derek Carr, he's going to have a different career from his brother. I really do. I think Derek Carr will play great.
All right. So. Well, look, we wrapped up our – NFL mock draft 1.0. That's it. We don't do any more. 1.0.
We'll talk about the end of
the first round on Friday. But let's jump into in the last 5 minutes of the show. We got to give props to best first round ever in NBA history. Let's talk about the Western Conference and then come back to
Well, I'll say this. You know, I think that, like we talked off air, there weren't major surprises, the teams that we thought would win. I thought maybe the Hawks could do something, but they didn't. Kudos to the Pacers. When I look to the next round, I think it's in the West, it's the point guard battles. I think the Spurs battling the Blazers, Lillard against Parker. You saw what Parker did Game 7 against Dallas, and Dallas did what they could, but they just got steamrolled by the veterans.
You saw what Lillard did, too. LaMarcus Aldridge
and
got all the pub for the first few games, and Lillard
turns out
was the most consistent player in that whole series.
Hey, you know how I feel about him. And his first 2 years, he can put him up against maybe any other point guard. You know, I think Lillard is building a career that's quite nice. Wouldn't it be something if he gets out of, you know, could get out of the West and make the claim to be the best point guard in the league? Because if he beats Parker and then goes and beats either Westbrook or Chris Paul, wow, that would be insane. But I got to go with the Spurs over the Blazers. And I got to go with the Spurs in maybe 6 or 7 games for that series. I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah,
about
I think
that.
The same. I think the Spurs, but it'll take them a full 7 games. This Portland team is a tough matchup. They went 2-2 in the regular season, so we'll definitely have to keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I'll go 7 with that. And then Clippers Thunder, I think it's a total coin toss. For me, I don't know. There's something off with the Thunder. To see if Scotty Brooks gets it together. But I think now, after this whole controversy of Sterling, I think the Clippers are banding together their bench and just the way Jordan is starting to play. He's going to dominate OKC, I think, him and Blake. So I'm going to go with the Clippers in 7 games.
Really? I'm actually going to go with the Thunder here in 6. I think that Russell Westbrook is the one guy that maybe can give Chris Paul trouble athletically and with his size.
No, he's a beast.
And if you can take Chris Paul
another
out of the
triple-double.
Game,
that was amazing.
Then, then the size of the Clippers maybe gets slowed down a little bit, especially on offense. I still think they have a huge rebounding edge. But I think Perkins will frustrate Jordan and bang Griffin around a little bit. So I actually like the Thunder here in 6.
In 6? Okay, going to the East, I think the Heat continue to roll and get ready to defend their championship and their title. You're going to see something from Brooklyn, though, because those vets and Joe Johnson, woof. Remember we talked about those 5 players? Well, Joe Johnson has answered the bell, and he stepped up. I think he was listening to Ray and Tay. And if he could somehow really match up with LeBron, I think the Nets could maybe shock the world, but I say that they don't. But watch Livingston at the point. And
it wouldn't
keep,
be a
Darren
shock,
Williams.
given they beat them 4-0 in the regular season.
No, they did.
Now, granted,
the regular season is different.
Wasn't there for 2 of those games.
But I got it. I got the Heat in 7. I got the Heat in 7. I think Brooklyn's going to be tough.
I got the Heat in 6. I think the Heat had a week off. Now, that can be bad for some teams, but a team like that that needs it so much, especially Dwayne Wade, that really helps. And I think the Heat, they may win in 5, but I'll say they'll win in 6.
Ooh, 5. Okay, now this is the interesting one. The Wizards, the young Wizards with the great
Wizzy
veterans
Wizards
off the bench against the Pacers. I tell you this, I like the Pacers front court, the Wizards back court, Pacers with the coach, but I love the bench of the Wizards. When you throw in, you got the savvy veterans of Miller, I like Nene, who's not on the bench, but I like the veterans and Ariza. I think the Wizards are going to be tough. So to me, should I go with the other? Oh, why not? I'm going to take a risk. The Wizards in 6. Shock the world.
Wow. That is shocking. If the former Baltimore Bullets, now known as the Washington Wizzies, go to the Eastern Conference Finals to play the winner of Brooklyn.
It's a coming out party for Wall and Bradley. They dominate Hill.
Best backcourt, maybe the best backcourt of the NBA for the next 10 years. So I love it. I wish I could pick it. I gotta think, I'm wrong.
I think the
here,
Pacers will win, but I gotta go with something shocking.
That it's an 82 game season, and for 70 of the 82 games, you thought that the Pacers were the best team in basketball. They have Game 7 in Indiana. They play D. I just think that ultimately the Pacers will win. I think it might go to 6 or 7. So I'll say Pacers in 7. That Game 7 in Indiana is too much.
Hey, it was surprising, and let's give the Hawks credit. The Hawks really pushed these guys to points that nobody thought. I mean, they had to change their line. You know, they were thinking about changing their lineups, threatening of the coach getting fired. Listen.
That's that team that finished below 500, the only team in the playoffs below 500. Yeah. You could look at the glass half full or the glass half empty if you're the Pacers. You could think you're in a world of trouble right now. They played terribly, the Pacers did, and still advanced.
Yeah, it's sort of surprising, right? I mean, it was kind of messy. But this is going to be one heck of a series, and everything's hips off tonight. Hey, let's give congrats to California Chrome for taking it down at the Kentucky Derby. We both thought it was, he'd come in second, but
So Danza came in third. My Danza, Tony Danza.
Yeah, Danza
like
got.
That,
I
right?
had Danza went in second, I think, or in first. No, I had Danza winning it, and Danza didn't pull it out. But hey, listen, that was good. What'd you think about the Mayweather fight, real quick?
Yeah, I thought Mayweather would win easier because I thought he was just too fast. But I tell you what, man. You're starting to see some chinks in the armor. Unfortunately, because I thought I would boycott this fight, if Mayweather-Pacquiao do end up fighting, I think I'll watch it. But I want to see it already because these guys are getting older, and I don't want to see – this is not grudge match. I want to see these guys that are relatively in their prime. I do want to see Pacquiao-Mayweather. It got my appetite is back for that fight.
I can't wait for this draft. We got this caller back. Let's see –
Yeah, real quick.
Caller, you're on with Ray and Tay?
Hey, Ray and Tay, it's Oren, man. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Oren?
What's up,
hey.
Oren? You ready for this draft or what?
Man. Ready for the draft, ready for my Wizards to do some work. I mean, it's great. Brooklyn's in the house. The Nets are doing work, too. I mean, but, everything is great. I mean, for San Fran.
So the dream scenario for you are the Nets and Wizards win and play in the Eastern Conference Finals, right?
That would never happen, but
Don't say never. Don't say never.
Well,
Joe Johnson was looking pretty good.
Ridiculous if it did.
So let me ask you this. Two questions. Who's the number one pick and who are your Niners taking?
Oh, man. Let me see. I think Clowney's going to be number one pick.
Yeah.
I think, hands down. I mean, you don't get a talent like that. If they say every 20 years, then it's too much question marks on other things. Even if I was somebody who needed a quarterback or needed both positions, I would go with Clowney. To me.
Yeah, it's hard to argue. Put it like this: GMs don't get fired for taking Jadeveon Clowney, right?
He's great.
He's a great talent. So that's almost a layup. I mean, seems like everybody's consensus on that.
And what about your Niners? Ray has them taking a receiver, and I got him taking Shazier, the linebacker. What are your thoughts with what the Niners are going to do in the first round?
I think we, to be honest with you, I heard you guys talk a little earlier about a receiver, the linebacker. I think, even though I don't know the best people at position, I think we really need to look for a running back. I think we need that, to me. I think we're good in the receiver category. I think we need more of a running back.
I think you'll take a running back. I think it's just probably going to be in the second round. The running back position is being devalued. No running backs last year in the first round. If you could get Carlos Hyde, maybe you just say forget what everybody says and just take Carlos Hyde in the first round because Gore's getting older. You don't know if Latimer from South Carolina, the knee's ever going to work out. They're going to get rid
James
of the Michael
Paul.
James. Yeah, and they want to get rid of him, so...
Yeah.
And Hunter is a guy you share the ball with. He's not a starting running back, so I don't know. Listen, it's not a bad pick, right? And I think running backs are important. Marshawn Lynch won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think we need that. But it's going to be. The draft seems a little light to me. Does it seem by that way to you guys?
Oh, I think it's
light maybe on superstars because it's the first four or five that could be superstars. But I think this is a GM's delight. I think the GMs can really, really fill out their rosters with first-rounders, second-rounders, third-rounders. I think it's actually deep to fill non-star positions.
And not just that. Think about it. You've got a bunch of receivers in this draft, a bunch of quarterbacks who eventually in 3-4 years could be starting, and I think you've got a lot of solid running backs. We talk about not being first-round picks, but Hyde and Hill and Trey Mason and Bishop Sankey, the kid from Arizona, the kid Andre Williams from BC. There's a lot of talent. So I think look for all the running backs to go second, third, fourth round. But this draft isn't that bad. And some good offensive linemen. I think you could get – I mean, this might be crazy to say, but you could get 4 to 6 Hall of Famers potentially from this first round. So –
well,
all right, man.
Good.
Wrapping
well,
up the show. Thanks for calling in and thanks for listening.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
No problem, man. You guys keep on doing a good thing and watch my Wizards.
All right. We'll keep an eye on the Wizzies.
All right. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right, listen, man.
Great show. I think, obviously, we will be back Friday. We'll have George on again. We'll wrap up the first round. And we'll take you through all the craziness, break down the trades, what teams took what, and then what to look for day two with the second and third round on Friday. I can't wait. Let's go.
Can't wait. Back on Friday. Have a great sports week. Enjoy the draft. Enjoy the second round of the NBA playoffs. Enjoy the hockey. Enjoy everything about sports. We'll be back to wrap it up for you and preview the weekend on Friday.
Definitely. Thanks for listening. Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
We're out.